Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast. Come on, Red!
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, Elliott Shore Parks. James Seltzer with you. Day 11.
Crazy. Good job remembering on your
Thank
own.
You. I didn't have
Good
any. Job remembering Normally, I'd be like, what day is it?
Yeah.
I came prepared today. I've got a list of books to talk about at the end.
I'm
so ready. We're going to do a little
And ironically, my final thoughts a list as well.
How about that?
And our pod's a list.
And we are big fans of lists.
I
Not
love
all
list.
Lists, like the player, NFL players list, which is
that.
The worst list that has ever happened in the history of the planet.
I love that
A
list.
Nonsensical list.
Well, good news. It's coming out.
Tyreek Hill, the best player in football. They really nailed it last year, didn't they? Thank
one.
You for that one. Good job, guys.
Well, to be fair, they
Over
also put
Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Yeah. That played out. And Lamar Jackson. That played out great.
It's almost like lists are wrong. It's the only list to ever get something wrong. The players are the only one.
Consistently yes. awful. Yes.
You don't wear contacts, correct?
No, I don't wear glasses.
Tucker, are you a contact guy?
I do.
I slept in my contacts last night. For the first time in...
Sounds terrible.
So, DeCamera leaves his contacts in for like 6 weeks. Is that bad?
Okay, so let me... I'm going to talk to DeCamera about that.
He sleeps in them.
When I was in... just out of college, I would say. Maybe a little older than that. I went through like what I would do with him.
What he would do.
Yes, like I would go a month. Like not a month, but like 3 weeks. Same pair in every night. And... I will say, like, my eyes are fine. So there was, you know, knock on wood.
It's not good for you, though?
Oh, my God. It's awful.
I would imagine it's
bad for you. Yeah, you're not supposed to do it. You are, like, and so I haven't slept in my contacts in forever. Last night, I fell asleep on the couch, went upstairs, went right to sleep. I woke up this morning, and I'm like, what's in my eye? Dude, my eyes still feel like, I cannot believe I used to do this. I don't know how I survived 6 weeks like that.
So I can't imagine having to. Do the contact thing.
So the reason I would keep them in.
It seems like such a bear, you know?
So the reason I would keep them in is because I used to say to myself, well, what if I can't get them in tomorrow? Like, I'm going
to
need my eyes.
Because you hated
tomorrow.
Having to do the thing.
Yes. But now once I just like got used to it, I put my contacts in like 2 seconds.
I'm
like,
sure.
It's no problem now. But like, yeah, so.
It is a wild thing. I don't think, to your point, and by the way, I don't think I gave you enough credit with your vitamins gummy
Thank
thing.
You.
Because we do eat, we've got Zoe to eat these like gummies that have vegetables in them.
And
They're
by
like,
the way, I want vitamin recommendation.
They're you know, the only way we can get Zoe to eat vegetables. Like, that's it.
Right.
She'll eat fruit. She will not touch a vegetable, but she loves these little, they're called grunes. They're these little like vegetables in a gummy, and she eats them. So like, giving credit there.
Yeah.
I don't think we have enough credit to what an amazing thing contacts are. This
well, it's
little
funny you
thing
say that
you can slide over your eye. It goes on your eye. You can function with it. And it helps
it is
you
crazy.
See.
It,
I know like there's laser eye surgery. I know it gets more amazing. But just in general, I don't think contacts have ever...
I would almost
the
argue
they
contacts are more...
Amazing in a way, right? Yes.
Yeah.
It's a creation.
It's like in 1970, I don't know when contacts were invented. But like if in 1970 you saw that...
I love how he speaks confidently pulling a year out. And
I feel
like,
pretty I confident there weren't contacts in 1970. You should look it up. But I would...
Oh, Tucker should look it up.
Right, let me guess.
I love having Tucker to look it up.
This has to be like not...
Let's say yes. I will say they were invented in.
Wow.
Don't
19.
Say. Wow. The wow.
I was going to go earlier than you to begin with. So I think the wow is related. I'm going to say 1947.
No shot. I'm going to say 1985.
Okay.
So, but first, make sure you feel like this is a good answer and not just...
So the technical answer is the first contact lens was created in 1880s.
I was going to say it's probably like, even further back. But that I think but that's what I was answering.
Disposable soft contact lens, like what we wear, was created in 1987.
Okay, so that was a pretty good guess by you. So we were guessing different things. I was guessing when was the first contact lens. I wouldn't have guessed that far back, but I thought it'd be older. Look at you, 1987.
I was 2 years off. Pretty good.
I was alive for 6 years and they didn't have contacts for
people.
I was
only 2 years.
That's crazy.
It's crazy to think in 1800 someone went to someone was like, look what I got.
Oh,
put
I
it in your eye, be like,
well, that's truly amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. This Da Vinci sketched out an idea.
What fake news website is this?
No, Da Vinci.
You're saying Da Vinci invented the first contact?
Da Vinci, he sketched it. Dude, like, you also like sketching that.
Sketch whatever, but you know how many things Da Vinci was like way out in front of in the world? Like Da Vinci was like talking about airplanes before they existed. All kinds of stuff that Da Vinci was like Nostradamus, like whatever.
That's fair, but I don't think sketching a contact should be credited with inventing the contact.
But if you I agree. But okay. If you catch something and say you could put this on your eye and it can magnify your vision,
yeah, that's
in
crazy.
The whatever it was, was Da Vinci 1500s or something? I would guess somewhere in there.
Yeah, 1508.
Yeah. So, by the way, no big deal. I mean, that's pretty freaking amazing.
It's pretty crazy. I agree. Yeah.
Don't rip Da Vinci in this.
I'm
so pro Da Vinci, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know much about Da Vinci, but I will be pro if you get
among it. Probably the most impressive humans who ever lived. You know,
yes. Well, I'd have to think about that.
I mean, he did happen before 2000, so I know it's not really your wheelhouse.
Yeah,
here,
but with historical people, I'm willing to go further back.
Yeah. All right, let's get to inner excellence, then we'll dive in. Figured last week we did the five keys to the game on Thursday. So guess what we're doing until the Super Bowl? Five keys to the game on Thursday, Elliot. No pressure. Make sure you have your five keys ready.
And I feel like between the contacts, like just not having a great start to the day, like I feel like I could use something.
No, this is tough. You need a little inner excellence.
Do you want me to do it today? Like, how do we want to do it?
I'll do it. I'll switch it up.
I think every other day.
Page.
Have you ever held a book? Do you want to do the Kindle version?
Very funny. By the way, I said I got it just to give you like a little preview. And I won't go through all of them, but just so you get a concept of how much work I put to the book list. Ready? Look at that. I tried to just pick my favorites from the last like year or two. So
I'm very excited for it in the way that like you're one of my best friends and you put a lot of work into it. But like in terms of I'm not gonna know any of these books. Like
no, you won't.
Yeah.
But it'll be good for the listeners. If you want to read. All right, here we go. Inner excellence.
Okay, let's hear it.
The ego has certain needs. And when those needs aren't met, we get embarrassed, offended, or irritated. The ego says we need to always appear graceful, smart, and successful, not embarrassed, respected, not offended, and comfortable, not irritated. That's why the five factors of the affluenza virus are so attractive.
Whoa, didn't see that coming.
Neither, man.
Yeah.
I'm almost up. Because they seem to increase how smart and successful we appear. We can look more beautiful, gain more respect, and be more comfortable, or so the ego will tell us.
So
deep, interesting, Jim.
So the ego, right? I do think everybody
Freud here.
Yeah, I think everybody has an ego, even if they don't want to admit it. And I think sometimes
Freud said it. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's important.
The ego, right?
Yeah, I think it's important to admit sometimes, like you need your ego.
Yes, ego part.
You know, it's interesting that that's actually a good segue if we want to do it. But like, do you have thoughts
ego?
On it first?
I mean, on the reading?
Yeah,
I agree. I think ego and controlling your ego and getting your, being able to not let your ego control you or push you in certain directions or whatever is a very important thing to be able to, as a human, to be able to manage. So,
yesterday, AJ Brown spoke about.
Yes, he did. Can I just give you
a little
credit?
Not in a great mood.
Can I give you a little credit real quick?
I would like that.
We play
my ego would like that.
Yeah. Your ego right now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Also to this,
feed it.
Well, the afternoon show has this thing that I'm not the biggest fan of, but whatever.
The insider
of the year, because there's only one insider here that matters. There's an insider of the year.
And tell
it's
me.
Done. Like there's it should be the list is one. It's Elliot Chur Parks. But I want to give you credit, like just insider of the year stuff, whatever. Like we play so many clips of players talking or coaches talking on the air. I feel like 95% of the time there's a clip that we play.
It
that's
is
important.
Crazy.
It's you asking the freaking question.
And it feels like it's not intentional.
It's every time.
Thank you.
Great job this year, man. I really do. Just anecdotally playing all that audio, like the amount of times that you ask the question is like overwhelming.
Well, I'll say this. I came into this year trying to be better at it. I feel like I've gotten
better. You've done a fantastic job.
It was my goal for this year. So.
And I think you're really good at like the reacting when he's like that going back to the famous AJ game passing thing where he's like passing. You're like passing. Like just like kind of letting him go, like reacting in a good way. Anyway, so anyway, you asked the question. Yes. AJ,
go ahead. AJ definitely seemed, and I don't mean it like the media, like he just definitely seemed like he was not happy with the reaction to the book thing.
And my guess, for what it's worth, is we had the public reaction. My guess is that the NFL has jumped in here a little bit too, and that there's some sort of, because no matter what, like we're okay with it. We have no problem. I don't think the NFL likes the image of a player reading a book.
Interesting. I hadn't thought or heard of this.
So you think I would guess there's behind the scenes stuff where AJ has kind of been scolded. If I had to guess, just a guess, just throwing that out there, but whether it's from the Eagles internally because of the NFL or whatever, I'm sure the Eagles didn't like it. Like, we're okay with it. I think Nick's okay with it. Like, he said he would. Nick had an amazing answer.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect answer. Perfect way to defend your player. But I don't think, like, look, we talked about it. Like, it was a thing. Like, in like a perfect world, we're not talking about a player reading a book on the side. It's like, we're just not.
Just my opinion, I think the Eagles are perfectly okay with it. That's just my...
I don't think the NFL likes it. I feel pretty confident.
I'd be interested to know.
What it's worth, we had Kelsey on and Kelsey said the same thing. So
he doesn't think the NFL
likes it. He thinks the NFL did not like it.
Wow, that's so lame of the NFL, if so. I mean, it really is.
The NFL doesn't like... I mean,
but it's not like disrespectful of AJ. If anything, to be honest, like, this is something they should embrace. Like, a player reading, like, I just feel like there's a lot of positive from this. Like,
look,
AJ reading a book, doing what he thinks is good for him. Like, I'm not saying, I know you agree with me on this, but I'm saying if the NFL is actually mad about this, I think that.
I mean, just think about it this way. And I know that it's fine. He says he does every game. How many times have we ever in our lives watching NFL football, which
agreed,
seen a player reading a book on the sidelines? It's never been caught. I've never heard of this.
I agree. It's
so
new.
No matter how much they say it's like this is all the time or this or that. Like, it is a unique thing that we're talking about that we've never seen before in an NFL game. And it's not like, again, I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
Do what you need to do to get ready to play. But there are people who have a problem with it. And there are people who think it's a bad look when he has one catch and the whole thing going on where he's just sitting there reading his book. Like, again, I'm saying my issue, I don't have an issue, but I do think that it is as it's the only time we've ever seen it, I think the NFL, it's not a great look for the NFL.
So normally I'm of the camp of, look, if ever, like, with the Jalen and Nick stuff, I'm like, just say nice things about each other to shut people up, right? Like, it's not worth it. I hope AJ and the Eagles don't give in on this one. Like, I hope it's not AJ can't bring his book on the sideline.
AJ, don't be reading a paperback book on the sideline.
Well, then what's the point of bringing it out there?
My point is, put the passages on a tablet or do something else or whatever where people can't look at it and be like, oh, he's reading. I don't think they care about him reading the book.
Right.
I think they care about the look of him reading
It's the same thing with
what you just said, where you're, how is it any different from you saying that Jalen or Nick should just say something?
No, I'm saying on this one.
It's for the optics of it.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Yeah. It's the optics.
Yeah. But I think this one is not about, like, the difference between the Jalen and the AJ thing is it was causing drama where it's like, do they like each other? We're talking about time. Like,
but this did cause, I mean, it could have, like, there are people who believe that he, like Rhea on the morning show believes that he was reading as a spite to Jalen. She believes it. She still believes it. She doesn't care what AJ says.
Right.
She's saying that was him saying, I'm not getting the ball. I'm not happy with Jalen. I'm going to read on the sidelines. I don't believe that.
Right.
But that is a thing that there's a portion of people who believe that. And especially nationally, like, you hear a lot of the national people talk about it. Like, they all think it is, like, not okay for the most part.
I agree. I hope he doesn't give in on it. I just view it differently than Nick.
My point is, I don't know.
The Nick and Jalen thing.
This might be something way above his head where they're like, you can't do that.
Or it honestly might have just ruined it for him anyway. Like, it could just be he liked to have it there.
I mean, I think he should be, if anything, looking at Eagles fans who made this guy the number one seller on Amazon and being like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so he did talk about that. He did say that. People are sending him books. He had a few books at his locker.
Cool.
So, like,
I mean,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's all good. I just, he did not seem happy with the reaction. Just putting that out there.
Oh, well.
Yeah. No, just saying.
You know, again, and with AJ, we get to the point where it's like, and I have no problem with this stuff. And again, especially the book, but it's like, at a certain point, he's got to understand that, like, he does keep instigating.
Well, he talked about this yesterday. He said something to the effect of sometimes he forgets what a big impact he can have. And I think there's probably truth to that. I believe him, but it is crazy that he could, it just got to be nice for him to be able to forget that he's, like, one of the most influential people in the city in a way.
I don't know if he forgets that.
I don't know. I mean, we can move on from the book.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even what we did. But, like,
and again, I'm fine with it personally. I don't think that it's something we're going to continue to see. if I had to.
I'll be curious to see. Yeah. I mean, this weekend's a big one for it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
he's on the reading on the side. They'll look for it. The
yeah, point exactly. Is this weekend, right. That book will be looked for. Thing.
The
yeah.
camera will be looking for the books this weekend. Let's see what happens.
I think even pregame, like, they'll be like, where's the book at? Like, yeah, the book will be a famous book.
I agree.
There will be, it'll be a story.
This guy, what a, can you just, that's another thing. You're just going about your business and then all of a sudden, like.
I know. I'd be curious to know how many he's actually sold. Because apparently going from like he was 550,000 to first,
it's more about the jump.
Yeah, it's take. More. Yeah.
He wasn't actually the most sold.
Like,
book.
You, like if you just had to guess, we'll never know the number, but you think more than 1,000?
Yeah, you I would so? Guess okay. like a few thousand. But you're right. That's not like
I doubt it's like 400,000.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's a book.
It's a shame. I mean, everyone should read books.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Goldberg's book club.
I agree.
Later this
yes.
show.
Yes.
All right. Let's get in. Let's get your five keys. Let's dive in.
Only last thing I was going to say. That is just AJ didn't practice yesterday. Are you worried about that at all?
Look, I think he'll play in these games.
Yeah.
I am macro sense concerned about the fact that he has a knee thing, but it seems like he can play. It seems like he can function out there. So like, I'm not like overly concerned, yeah. but it, just in general, the fact that he's got a knee thing through the playoffs, I wish he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like overly concerned.
I'm just I would say I'm less concerned than I was last week.
Yeah,
now
absolutely.
That we've seen
after
him go
last
through
week,
it,
I
yeah.
think you feel like, all right, this is the way they're managing it. Look, I don't think he needs to practice. You know,
yeah, you would so, like him to, but yes, I agree at this
you know,
point.
You know what I mean?
It's not great.
All right, let's get to the keys.
All right. So number one for me.
Key matchups, by the way.
Key matchups.
I should rephrase.
Key matchups. Keys to winning the game.
Yes.
To win the game, they're going to have to win these matchups.
Exactly.
That's one way to put it. So I'm doing Jordan Mailata versus Jared Verse. And I'll start by saying, after they played the Rams last time, Jordan Mailata was on the Players Lounge the night after. So, you know, Sunday night they play in LA, flies back. I have done a lot of shows with Jordan, talked to Jordan a lot. I've never really heard him talk about a player the way he talked about Jared Verse. Like,
wow.
He was very like, he was tough. Like, and not so much that he was tough to stop because, so there's 22 pass rush snaps Jared Verse had, and Mailata only gave up one hurry, not a sack, not a hit. So he did well with him, but he was just very impressed by Jared Verse. Like the toughness, the personality, just like that Verse wasn't afraid at all to go against him. Like I was just, it stuck with me how highly he spoke of Jared Verse. Now it's not like Jared Verse is a secret. He led the league in pressures this year with 84. So
he's going to win rookie of the year.
Yeah.
I love Quinion.
He's going to win it.
He was right? like sixth
well,
in sacks.
I could be wrong, but I think Quinion's not even a finalist. I saw someone tweet out yesterday, the seven finalist for like the Pepsi rookie of
oh year. I didn't even know they had it out.
Maybe it's not
know.
A real rookie
yeah
of year.
I don't know, but either way I think
right
Jared Verse
is gonna win it. Yeah, but like when we've talked about the Rams this week, what we consistently say is like it's a defensive line, and we'll talk about other ones in a second, but Jared Verse is like the key in a lot of ways. So the good news is whenever we do a game and we talk about an edge rusher, you can feel confident the Eagles tackles will shut them down. And I do think Mailata will win this matchup. But think about that game on Sunday night. Like Verse was all over the place against the Vikings. So key number one. And I think
he was the best player on the field.
Yeah. And like Jordan Mailata, again, because of how highly he spoke of him, I think he's well aware of how tough a matchup this is. I bet he's excited for it, but it's a huge one. So Jordan Mailata versus Jared Verse.
Yeah, as you've talked about, chronicled the strength of the defense for this Rams is clearly their D-line. It's going to be the match. One of the matchups of the game is just the O-line versus the D-line. And they're good, but I think we're better. You know, I don't, to your point, you always say this, like, I think you have to go into games feeling like the Eagles offensive line is going to succeed.
No matter
just,
what.
Like, it's just the way it is now, you know, until they don't.
All right, so this matchup I'm worried about. I'm curious where you fall on it. So Puka Nacua versus Darius Slay.
So before you even get into whoever he's first,
right?
I think Puka Nacua is the most underrated great receiver in the NFL. Like, I think there's an argument. He's like, he's not Justin Jefferson, but
he's
like
there. Yeah.
Next.
Like, well, he's Puka, awesome. He's
Puka
tough. He can do it all. Yeah.
Awesome. And I don't think we mention him when we talk about Jefferson and Jamar Chase and AJ Brown, these guys, like Puka's in that class.
Yes.
And I don't think he gets put in that class enough, not to mention the blocking and all the other stuff he does. But Puka Nacua to me is the best player on the Rams. He's the most dangerous player on the Rams. He is the player I'm most scared of on the Rams. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So here's the concerning thing to me. Now, Puka Nacua lines up all over the field. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he lines up exclusively on this side. But if you just go by the numbers, he mostly lines up on the outside and he mostly lines up on the right side of the field. Darius Slay lines up defensively on the left side. So the main matchup will be Darius Slay versus Puka Nacua. So I think you go into this and feel like, well, Quinyon versus Puka, but like, that's not really how it'll play out. And also, if I'm the Rams, I'm lining him up across from Darius Slay instead of Quinyon.
Yeah. Right?
Not to mention it could be Isaiah Rodgers if Slay leaves the field. Yeah, so
especially as Slay's been in and out and all that stuff. Yeah.
Now, I don't think Puka played in, or no, Puka did play.
He did play, season. But he had just come back from injury or something.
I think. So they had a weird year with their skill guys. Like a lot of players
in and out.
They
had a few games where they had neither.
Tyler Higbee only played in three games this year. Yep. I think Cooper Kupp maybe played in 11.
Kyren's really the only one. I think he missed a game, but Kyren's the only one who's
played all year.
Yeah.
So the Slay versus Puka Nacua.
Kyren's better than you thought, by the way, right?
He's better than I thought.
Great, but he's better than you thought.
Yeah.
He's a good running.
He's definitely a good running back for sure. I just don't think he's in the class.
Oh, he's not Saquon, Derrick Henry, or Jacobs. He's like the next step down.
Yes, agreed. He's more of a DeAndre Swift to me. Better than DeAndre.
I think he's
Swift,
better than DeAndre Swift.
But he's closer to that.
I think he's like a Joe Mixon, like that level.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Joe Mixon's a good one. So Slay versus Puka. Like, if I'm the Rams, I would line him up across from him. I would try to get at him. Now the good news is, it looks like the weather's going to be pretty gross. Like,
it's going to
be windy.
Snow. It might
30% chance of snow. Okay. So.
But either way, cold.
Or rain.
And for what it's worth, the Rams this season have played one potential game where it could have been cold. Like, actually really cold. They played December 22nd against the Jets in New York. Other than that, their last game on the East Coast outside was at the end of November against New England. So maybe it's a little cold in that, but not like now cold. Like, they have felt nothing like what it'll feel like on Sunday this season. Just as a group.
I'm a little surprised they're not trying, like, practicing here. Like, I guess it makes sense you want to stay in LA.
I am so with you. And the Eagles are outside practicing in this weather.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it's such a dumb thing, cold. Dude. Yeah. It's dumb cold. We saw, and granted, this is like the coldest or fifth coldest game ever or whatever. And it's an extreme example.
Right.
But we all watched that playoff game last year with the Chiefs and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Dolphins wanted nothing to do with that thing.
And I think the Rams will be more like that.
And I think it'll be like, it won't be that cold, but I think it'll be like, they're going to get on that field and be like, damn, dude.
So I had a random thought this morning because it's supposed to snow, shocker, for the Bills game. And it's going to feel like -3 Bills, Ravens, right?
Do
you think the Bills have never won a Super Bowl because they also have to battle the weather every year in the playoffs? Like, think about it.
No.
Other teams that try to win a Super Bowl don't have to deal with the cold. I think it's worth considering. I mean,
he lost that great game in Kansas City.
No, I'm not saying that's the main reason, but I'm saying I think when you look at the fact the Bills have never won a Super Bowl,
I think the bigger reason is that the Bills have had bad teams for the vast majority of their
time. Look, there's a lot of reasons, but they're also battling the weather in a way other teams are not.
It doesn't do it for me.
It's undisputed.
I mean, but okay, it's almost as cold in other places on the East Coast. East Coast teams win. Like, the Giants have won 4 Super Bowls.
But the
Buffalo
is way colder.
It's colder.
Yeah.
But yes. But like, I just don't think, I think it's more the groups of teams that they went to four.
Well, of course,
they went to four straight Super Bowls. You could have won any of those. They could have won if Scott Norwood kicks a field goal.
But they didn't.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to do with the cold. Like, they can't.
I think it makes it harder for them.
I don't. I think it makes it harder for other teams coming in there to win. Like,
hard for those teams too, but also harder for the Bills.
Why though? How?
Because they have to play in elements that other playoff teams don't.
What does that matter though?
Because, like, it makes it tougher for them.
But they're still playing the game in the same place as the other team.
As the other team, I get that. But I'm saying, like, if you're... So
why is it tougher the next week? You're not. It doesn't last. It's just for that day. It's not
right,
like you
but
play
it makes
the cold,
it tougher to win that game. I think when it's snowing and cold, it's harder to win.
Even. It's the same for both teams. What are you talking
about?
But
like, other teams don't have to deal with it on their way to the Super Bowl the way the Bills do.
I don't understand your point. This makes
no
sense.
Are you saying it's like an exhaustion thing?
Yeah, I'm saying
you're saying that playing in the cold makes you tired for the next week.
No.
That I don't agree with.
I'm saying they play, I would bet they played more weather games in the playoffs than any other franchise.
So
maybe the Patriots are probably up there.
I don't understand your point though. So the point is, so for the individual weather game they're playing, both teams it's the same,
right?
Like, it's hard. It's as hard for either to win the game theoretically. Like, certain things are, maybe it's a more physical team or this, that, whatever. But like, so if it's not the individual game itself, they could either win or lose. Same, whether it's weather's the same for everyone. The only thing you could be saying is that they will play worse the next week because they had to play in the weather the week before.
Let's say they have home field advantage, right? We don't have to keep going about this. But if they have home field advantage in the playoffs and they play every game at home that year, right? And let's say it's cold because it's Buffalo and it's snowing. They play every game in the cold that year. Let's say the other team beats them the first week. Then they go play somewhere else that's not cold, right? Like, the Bills consistently have to play in freezing cold weather every week when they're in the playoffs at home.
I think it's an advantage for them.
You view it as an advantage. And that's an argument.
Because
they're
home and they're used to playing in the cold. I don't understand this at all.
Because it's harder to play in the cold. Like, it's just harder to play when it's cold.
If you're saying it, because it's harder to play in the cold, you're less good the following week because you had to play in the cold. Like, maybe there's something there. But in terms of the individual game itself, the cold is the same for both teams.
Right. But they are playing in more cold.
All right, we got to move on. This is the dumbest. Do you understand it, though? Do you have any idea what he's trying to say?
No.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm not crazy.
So we can move on. Matthew Stafford, 1-8 in weather.
Yeah, I meant to say that. Kyle Quinn was just telling me about that.
Right.
That's something.
Weather seems
it's not nothing.
Right.
I'll say that.
All right.
Also, someone who has played in a dome or LA his entire career as his home stadium.
Which is crazy. All right. Nolan Smith versus Rob Havenstein. So Havenstein, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that correctly.
He's been there forever, Havenstein.
Yeah.
Havenstein.
Havenstein. So I was close enough. He did not play in the first game against the Eagles. He is a good player. Nolan Smith has been so big in the turnaround for the defensive line this season. I would actually argue, like, once he started playing well, that's when the whole line kind of took off.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think he can win this matchup, and I expect him to. But if Nolan Smith gets neutralized, like, I think things kind of start to fall apart a little bit for the line.
You don't think Bryce Huff can come in and save the day?
Is
that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
His one snap won't make a difference in the game.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Vic Fangio was asked about it and was like,
imagine if he were good.
It would be awesome. It would be very good for them.
No, they'd win the Super Bowl by 30. It wouldn't even be a question.
Right.
Anyway, go
ahead. Vic Fangio was asked about it, and he was like, why didn't he play one snap? And he was like, well, we had a good three-man rotation going. It's like, wow. If only you were in control of the rotation.
That's his way of saying he's not good.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. Like, it's like the best excuse they can come up with.
I don't think Vic's trying. Vic is purposefully saying he's not good enough.
I think that's, and it's very clear by the snaps.
That's my point. Yeah.
All right. Next one, A.J. Brown versus Darius Williams. Last time they played, A.J.
had it versus... Oh, no. Okay, go ahead. Good.
Yeah.
My fault.
Well, last time they played AJ against them, 5 targets, 4 catches, 86 yards. AJ had a good game against the Rams. Remember, he had the touchdown. I think he actually, did he have 2? Or he should have had 2 or something like that. He had at least 1. I remember that. Anyway, the Rams secondary, like we talked about on yesterday's pod, like young, intriguing guys, some good players. AJ, if he's AJ, and Devontae are better than their secondary players. So, if that's the matchup they get, like they did in the first game, I think it's one they can take advantage
of. Did you know that Devontae Smith, I believe it's either 41 or 61, I think it's 61, is 61 yards away from...
I think it's actually...
Is it 41? It was one of the two.
I think it's 6. I think it's
I think it's 41, then maybe it's one of these. But either way, by the end of this playoffs, if they keep playing, like even in this next game, Devontae Smith could become the all-time Eagles postseason receiving leader in yards.
Well, it really shows... How good they've been.
Well, like, and Devontae's been awesome too. And it also shows how they didn't have first. I think it's that they've only really had one stretch in their time, except for these 7 out of 8 years where they made the playoffs like this, like 8 out of 10 or whatever it was with Andy. And they just didn't have receivers who were very good or here that long. Consistent. Deshaun was one of the most, and he stunk in the playoffs.
Well, even the early 2000 teams like didn't.
And they also
have
didn't make
guys.
The also it's a flip where it's like they had bad receivers early, then. There was like the gap in between. Then they only make the playoffs a couple times with those Deshaun Macklin type stuff. So anyway, it is wild.
No, I mean,
Harold Carmichael, the current leader.
I mean, there's like a decent shot AJ and Devontae go down as the two best, like 1 and 2 in franchise history.
Oh, it's numbers wise. Yeah. I mean, they have to stay here for longer.
Yeah, I think they will though. Like, although there was like some AJ
to the Patriots thing,
buzz thing.
Well, so the Vrabel thing.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I don't think they're going to trade it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't. Unless AJ says I want out.
I think the only like 2% chance they would trade AJ would be if they have concern about his knee long term and like the Patriots are willing to overpay. But I still don't think.
I don't think so.
Either. It would take, I don't know, maybe 2 first-round picks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, now if I was the Patriots, I would pay for AJ. Like, I think for the quarterback, getting
for the quarter,
there,
I agree.
It'd be huge. But I think the chances Eagles trade him are 1%.
All right.
If even that.
What's next?
All right, so the Eagles interior offensive line versus Brandon Fisk and Kobe Turner. So those are those two. They are the pass rushing defensive tackles. They have combined 116 pressures with 16 and a half sacks.
It's pretty good.
Very good.
And they got Byron Young there too.
Young, the other edge.
Rotation,
like their defensive line is legit. Now, if it was any other team, basically, we would be talking about this as like, it could wreck the game. I just don't think the Eagles offensive line will get wrecked. I'd be very surprised. Now, I do feel better about the tackles on this team than the interior, and that's only slightly. Like, they're all very, very good. But if I what do I think is more likely? The defensive tackles get consistent pressure up the middle, or the edges get consistent pressure, I think it's more likely that the defensive tackles get consistent pressure. And for what it's worth, I think you could argue that's a worse way to allow pressure. Like right up the middle, Jalen sometimes isn't great with dealing with pressure. He leaves the pocket too early. So that would be a concern of mine, is if these two tackles start to win, and not to mention the running game. Now, they ran all over the Rams last time, so I think they'll do it again. But my concern would be the defensive tackles getting pressure.
Sure. You know, again, I can't get too worked up over Eagles O-line matchup.
Exactly. But it's just hard to find. Like,
No, wait, I get it. I get it. You're trying to find a way where there could be a weakness that makes sense. You know, that is, you know, the tackles have been so good.
Right.
And also you already put verse. So like we're basically saying that
you're basically saying with two of your
five matchups, the most important thing is the O-line versus.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what it'll come down to.
Yeah.
If they win the battle at the line of scrimmage with their offensive line, like, they could win this game by 20 points, especially if it's gross out.
Yeah, but. And they're going to. All right, what's next? Last one.
That was five.
But that was five?
That was five.
Wow.
One, two, three, four, five. Yep.
Wow. Bad job by me.
Well, counting.
I
should have said numbers, I guess.
I haven't been counting this whole run. I've been really struggling with the counting. All right, you got anything else on the Birds?
Still feeling confident?
I think they're going to win by two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm still feeling
honestly,
too.
So
I'm almost trying to talk myself.
It's the reverse of last week where I am getting more. Honestly, you know what I thought today is it's not the same level, but I do kind of feel like the Giants in 2022. Like the Rams are better. I don't feel again. I'm not.
No,
there,
it's a similar feeling.
But it's like where I look, they could lose. Any given Sunday is a thing, and I believe in it and all that. I just would be so shocked. I would be so surprised. And obviously, look, it'll be tough.
It's also a tough loss.
I just would be shocked.
It's the one team I think they could have lost to in the playoffs where you would go like, that's a bad loss.
Yeah.
Like Washington, I think would be close because it's a divisional rival, but like Jaden Daniels is awesome. Like this is the one game, the Rams in Philly.
Where it's like, they're so much better than that.
It would end the season on such a bad note. And we are definitely in the camp of, you know, like, you have to win a Super Bowl. I get all that. But if they lose to the Lions, it's just a different type of loss.
This
would be such a crushing disappointment.
They've been so we always do, you know, point differential, I think is a.
Right. Yeah, the Rams have a minus point.
Yeah, so that's where it's going to go. And we think it's a pretty good one. It's not perfect, but it'd be a pretty good idea. Like if you look at the best teams in the NFL, guess what? It matches up with the best point differentials. The Eagles are a plus 160 point differential this year, the Rams are minus 19.
Yeah, like.
So the Eagles have scored 179 more points than their opponents compared to the Rams this year. I mean, that's a massive, massive difference.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's just, so I'm still feeling very confident. I'm also at a point where I'm like, I'm definitely ready for the game to get. I'm ready to move forward.
Last week, I was like, the moment that I was like, get me to the playoffs. This week, now I've reached it. One other thing I want to throw at you, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, because this is more of a Bet Parks when we're picking the games, but just to let it percolate, because we all want Washington to win and the game to be here. It's just, it's the best thing for the
Eagles. Yeah.
Is there a small part of you that is like, and again, I want Washington to win. But like a small party that's like, we've been waiting for.
Yes, of course. There's like, more than a small part of me.
Detroit. I want it to be like special and this.
I agree.
And it's like,
there's
a small part of me. I can't get more than small because I want to win the Super Bowl so bad. But like,
there's also more than a small part of me. Like, and you know, you
and
can
look, I think the NFL fans, they definitely would want.
Yeah. Eagles Lions is where it's always been going. I want to see it. I want to see it play out. We've talked about it so much.
No, it would feel great, but it would feel a small part. Be like, well, we play Lions.
I also want to prepare everybody for this. If Washington beats the Lions, the talking point will then be, well, they did just beat the Lions.
Of course it will.
Right.
Be.
So like,
playing them for the third time. They know you so well.
Jay Daniels is awesome.
They ain't going to be scared to come in
exactly,
here. They won
right,
here.
Right.
All that. Yeah. I know. All right, let's get to final. Some lists.
All right, so Tucker today, I was texting about the title for this, and he was like, people love lists, so it got me thinking. What? I think this might be the first time that I can remember in my list-making career.
Ooh, I love phrasing it as my list-making career. It really is.
Who I would argue are like the face of the main three teams, Jalen, Embiid, and Bryce. Like you can, you know. Jalen's the quarterback. Joel,
I get it. I get what you're saying.
Right.
Yes. I think in 2022, this would have hit harder.
Yeah. Well, no. This here. I don't know if any of them are a top five athlete in the city right now.
Oh, I see where you're going.
I think Bryce probably
Bryce still is. Yeah.
So here's the five I had, and tell me who you think might who you would disagree with.
So Saquon.
So the order I have is Saquon.
Yep.
Zach Wheeler.
Yep.
AJ Brown.
Yep.
Bryce Harper,
mm-hmm.
and then I put Jordan Mailata.
So I would put Harper higher still.
That's what I was debating.
Yeah, I would still put Harper. Like, I would still put Harper above Wheeler, but like, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, Wheeler is pretty.
So my list would go Saquon 1, Harper 2 right now. Probably go Wheeler 3. I agree. I think AJ. I mean, honestly, I think Jalen Carter would be probably my
Jalen was
my
one pick. I considered.
Yeah, I think yeah. I would probably. I think he is. I might even put him up AJ. Like, I think arguably Jalen. I mean, then you get into Zach Bond has to be at least discussed. But I think Jalen Carter because of the pedigree.
Right.
I think I would put Jalen Carter in my top.
Well, and
about the fact that like we're not even discussing a single.
No, that's where I was going with next. Like
Mishkov.
If I did my top 10, I would probably put Mishkov
I think in a few years, Mishkov gets there. He's not there yet, but I do. I'm really excited about the kid. He's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that he's, I know we're betting on his future in this list, but like, he's a rookie. That's awesome. He's the best player on the Flyers, I'd assume. I don't know any other player.
I don't think he is, but I think he's up there.
He's the most valuable player.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
By mind.
But yeah, I mean, Jalen's in the top 10, I think. And I think if Jalen wins a Super Bowl, that helps. Like, when you're the quarterback of a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in the top 10 in a vacuum in terms of just by position, because, like, Lane Johnson's a better right tackle.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
So, like, it's hard to judge it, but I agree with you in terms of the importance of quarterback and what it means you'd have to
elevate
it.
Joel, definitely not in the top 10 anymore.
Not
right? Like, Maxey, maybe. But, like, Maxey's been a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah.
It certainly isn't Paul George.
Man, it's wild. It's a list of Eagles and Phillies. That's
and what's
sure.
crazy
heavy
is
on the Eagles.
Yeah, for 2 or 3 years, it felt like it was. I mean, think about 2022. We probably had so many debates about Harper, Embiid, Hurts in some order.
Oh,
right?
Without a doubt.
And now it's
polls
like
on the morning
it's
show
like
about it. Yeah.
Bryce probably belongs in there, but also the disappointment of last year. Like, It's on one way.
I like this final thought.
It's a strong time for Philly athletes because I think there's so many players you could argue
it's also
are in the top
a bit
10.
Of a down.
But it's kind of like, yeah, it's a parody that maybe isn't great.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I like that. Yeah. That's a good one. You're right, though. I think it's a really good point. I mean, especially Joel. Jeez Louise. All right. Book club time.
All right.
I will plow through these. I will be very quick. I know that most people probably don't care. And if you don't care about books, care about books. I'm sorry. You don't care about books, Tucker?
Oh, I thought you were going to say leave.
Oh yeah,
stop listening.
Why would I tell someone stop listening? Don't leave. Hang out with us. You know, you might miss something hilarious at the end. You never know.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't know if it matters. Do we need people listening? Oh, I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Be
to
helpful.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do it for us.
Yeah.
Also, like, it's reading. It's good for you.
It is.
All right. So I've mentioned before a few books like Red Rising. The Red Rising books are amazing. Silent Patient, I mentioned, is a great one. Three Body Problem is
so
a
this trilogy. This list is your favorite books of this year
of the last
of
couple
time?
Years last that I've read since years. The last time I really like recommended some books on here.
Okay,
and I mentioned the Stormlight Archive, which is the 1330
right
book I read. Okay, I'm gonna go really quick. Project Hail Mary is a great book. It's by Andy Weir. Have you heard of The Martian?
I've not.
The movie with Matt Damon, you never heard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the guy who wrote the book, The Martian, that the movie was based on, this is his newest book called Project Hail Mary. Awesome book. It has the coolest beginning to a book I think I've ever read.
Mm.
Really, really neat. It's sciencey, but like I hate science. You know, I'm not a science guy.
Right.
I don't hate science. I love science. I'm bad at science.
Yes.
I could understand it all. It wasn't too sciencey.
Very few people are good at science.
Except for
scientists
and doctors.
No, I agree.
And
right.
Yes. I think very few people is not true. I think it's that there are people like us who are better at English or history. Or whatever,
right.
Then there are other people who are more science. Like Emily is way better at science than she is at history or whatever. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. This book made me bawl my eyes out at the end.
All right.
It's called Then She Was Gone by Lisa Jewell.
I mean, it sounds like a sad
It's
title.
Like a mystery type book, but especially if you have a kid, you're going
like
to cry.
Maybe she's gone.
Yeah, it's a very good book. But again, some of these are tough reads. You know. By the way, if you're into mysteries and throwing stuff, Michael Connelly, Harlan Coben, Robert Crazy, if you're like into detective ones, I've read every single book they've ever written. I've never mentioned. Okay. I just read this trilogy. It's pretty good. It's called the Chaos Walking Trilogy. They made a movie of it.
Mm.
The Knife of Never Letting Go by Patrick Nass, first book. Really good. Basically, it's like a new planet type thing. Like, you know,
are these all 1300 pages or something?
No, none of them are. None of these are. These are all normal books.
Right.
Anyway, Chaos Walking is very good. All right. At the end, I'm going to do my favorite, but it's with an asterisk. All right. Sea of Tranquility. This is actually a really quick read. It's by Emily St. John Mandel. Did you see the TV show Station 11? Either of you see Station 11?
Yes, it was very good.
The woman who wrote the book Station 11. Mm. This is another one of her books. Sea of Tranquility, like a beautiful book.
I wonder if they'll make a show about it.
It's short. I doubt it. If anything, I think it's a movie more than a show. Wrong Place, Wrong Time by Jillian McAllister is basically a reverse Groundhog Day. That's all I'll say.
It's all he's giving away.
Pretty neat idea, though. Let me tell you. Neat idea. The Patient's Secret by Loreth Ann White. It's based on a real murder story. Mm. It is dark. Like, this was it's great. This is a dark book.
So I did watch the trailer for Red Room.
Red Rooms. Yeah, yeah.
Seems pretty dark. Didn't dark, watch it, but
twisted,
seemed pretty,
right?
Yeah.
I told you it was.
Seemed like maybe not.
Yeah, Spike Watch.
Not a kid's movie.
Spike Watch.
Seems right up Spike's. It was so funny. I saw the tweet and I was like,
there we go. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then, so I have two more to go. Again, these are just the last couple of years. If anyone wants to tweet at me, I will respond to book tweets. I respond to nothing else. If you tweet me about books, I will respond. I'm in. Okay. So two last ones. The one is actually the book I'm reading right now, which after the long one, I started this and it's amazing. Like, I absolutely adore this book. It's called An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green.
All right.
Just a phenomenal book. Like, I can't recommend it highly enough. A really super cool idea. I won't give it away. It's every single book on here is fiction. Every single book. I read to get away, to turn the brain off, to enjoy.
I like biographies better.
I know you do. I know you do. It's a different thing. All right. This is my last one. Again, this is with an asterisk, and it's a big asterisk in that these are so it's part of a trilogy. I've read the first two. They are the best fantasy books I've ever read. Period. End of story. They're better than Game of Thrones. They're better than the Brandon Sanders and stuff. They are Harry Potter. Best ever. That's not fantasy. Come on, dude. Pull it together.
You wouldn't call Harry Potter fantasy?
No.
Okay.
No. Like, Tolkien is fantasy and stuff like that. Like, magical stuff is different. Like, it's like, I don't know if it's like considered magic, whatever it's considered, but it is a different thing. Harry Potter is not technically fantasy.
Okay.
I mean, maybe like the loosest definition of it. We're talking fantasy. People understand who read what I'm talking about.
Right. All right.
But I do love Harry Potter. I think it's the greatest story ever told. So the thing is, the first two books are the best books I've ever written. It's called In the Name of the Wind is the name of the first book. It's The King Killer Chronicle by Patrick Rothfuss. Here's the issue. The first two books, the best two fantasy books I've ever read. The guy hasn't written the third book yet, and it's been 12 years.
I don't think it's coming.
He says he's going to. It's like a George R. R. Martin thing. Like, so here's the thing. If you want to read two books and not know if you're ever going to get the third, but those two books are so freaking amazing. Like, you can't stop reading them. Then do it. But I understand it is incredibly unfulfilling to be waiting for this book for a long time. I feel bad for people who read the book originally. I read it like a year ago and I was like, it's been a really long time. Imagine waiting right after.
So wait, is it a cliffhanger?
Like, the story's not finished.
That's what I'm saying.
It is a trilogy. It was always meant to be a trilogy. He's telling a story in three books.
Right.
The third book's not here 12 years later. So I don't know if it'll ever be here. So there is, like, I'm sure if once he dies, someone will finish it. That's what always happens with these things, like Wheel of Time with Robert Jordan, ironically, Brandon Sanderson, the guy who finished it. But like, he has a draft. He's got all this stuff. I'm sure it'll get finished someday. But all I can say is the first two books are unbelievable. And if you're all right not knowing when the next one comes, it's worth it.
Would you either A, never have a third book come, like never, or B, have him tweet out the ending in less than 140 characters?
No, you can't do that with this. Like, I would rather it's not that kind of ending. It's you're with the story.
Like, no, I'm
it's
not
like,
well,
there's no like, you can't, like, there's too many things go. It's a fantasy book. It's like huge. Like, these books all right, are
so
long,
let's say two paragraphs. Like, would you rather?
No, I would rather read.
You'd rather
book.
Not know.
It's about the book. This guy's one of the best writers I've ever read.
Right. Like, I just curious how bad you want to.
It's all about the way the guy writes. So no, I wouldn't.
Fair
enough. But so we'll see. We'll see on that one. Please finish the freaking book, Patrick.
How old is he?
I don't know. I would feel such a crippling anxiety of knowing that my story wasn't finished and that these people were out there waiting.
Seems like he doesn't care.
No, that's the issue. And I feel kind of bad for him. Apparently he's a perfectionist or whatever. And the first two books were such massive hits and such a big thing that he's like, crippling anxiety about finishing the story perfectly.
Right.
And that's been the issue.
Well, he's just building up the anticipation.
Just put the book out.
I agree.
Yeah. All right.
Or tweet it.
Read books like AJ Brown.
Unless you're on the sideline.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Parks Picks Pod Saturday, 1-3 WIP. Massive show on Saturday. And then of course Sunday, the moment the game ends, 6:30, whatever it is, we'll be live on YouTube. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then. He's William James.